community talks, we're going to start by talking about a poll that we ran over on our Twitter about art styles.
Yeah, so I know nothing about art, as you may have gleaned from my conversation with Sap. And Farrah and I were both curious about which major creation methods that artists use the most. Are they more prone to digital these days, or are they more prone to physical? Because Sap kind of talked about that. So ran it over on the Twitter, and we had 64% of people saying that they preferred digital versus the 36% that preferred physical. And I will say, and this could totally show maybe my bias or who I'm following on Tumblr, but I was surprised that the 36% was as high as it was.
Yeah. I mean, part of it might be that we mostly see digital art just because it's easier to share digitally, but that a lot of people are making physical art and not sharing it as much, but they still see it sort of as their primary form. But I can definitely see the appeal of digital art. So I think Sat mentioned this in the interview too, the Control Z is sort of hard to go back without once you're used to it. Being able to undo things and erase things without risking the rest of the piece is pretty powerful.
Yeah, Stark Snack on Twitter said erasers just really suck.
Yeah.
I can imagine that's honestly like thinking about typing on a typewriter and using whiteout versus having a computer.
Oh God, yeah. I used to use a typewriter sometimes and it's hell.
Yeah, I did as well. My mother was an administrative assistant in the 70s at a big publishing house in New York. Mm-hmm. And she taught me how to type on a typewriter.
Yeah. Nice.
I had a question for you though. When thinking about bigger events like Marvel Trump's Hate, or some of the kind of longer term stuff that you've been involved in, mm-hmm. have you seen people artists participate in those using physical art and then they scan it? Or are you seeing in those as well, are you seeing mostly completely digital creations?
No, actually, Marvel Trump's Hate's really broad. We get some really cool stuff, but we also include the option to mail something physically. So I actually see quite a few physical artists that create something and then mail the print to somebody's house so they can hang it up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and we also see a whole bunch of other like physical artists in the form of crafters. So I won an amazing Avengers mug from Robin, and she sculpted and fired that herself and glazed it. And there are knitted projects. You can get like little crocheted dolls. And I think this year I might auction off some knitted gloves. And it's the most amazing range, I think. MTH thrills me every year because it's so cool seeing what people offer. But there is actually a fair amount of physical art, yeah.
That's really exciting. I bid very high on some tentacle statues.
Oh, Atoria's tentacle statues, yeah.
And was very aggressively outbid, and I'm still kind of salty about it.
Those were well coveted. I mean, they're gorgeous, so.
They're gorgeous, and I mean, there's tentacles.
I'm gonna see what I can do to make those happen again this year.
Ooh, but I love it. And I love the idea of physical art being both artifacts in like terms of crafting, but also in terms of like 2D creations and things like that. It's just so, again, anyone who can create things is a magician in my mind.
Yeah, it's broad. And I mean, when I was in school, I did study art a little bit and it was all physical at that point. Like, they were barely inventing Wacom tablets at the time. And so I learned with pencil and paper, and I learned watercolors and pastels and stuff like that. And I've only picked up, I'm not much of an artist, but I really like coloring things. So I borrow other people's line art and I color it. So the Steve Tony coloring book project was like very major for me. But I've been completely converted. Like, I just love the freedom and the precision of using doing digital art. And I think it's also really great if you're learning, because mostly because of that, that eraser, it makes it easier to say, I'm just going to try this and see what happens. So like, I'm trying to learn how to do cell shading better, and you know, I can just keep trying it. I can just keep trying different things and see how it looks and then just erase it. And I don't have to worry about ruining my piece. So
That makes complete sense. I'm very intimidated to try drawing or anything to do with it. But if I was going to, it would certainly, I would want the low barrier to resource wasting that comes with digital, for sure.
I think that coloring is actually, like, because the process of, like, producing a piece of art is usually, like, sketch, line, flat colors, details, you know, and shading, highlights. However people play the end is a little bit different, but, like, usually go mostly in that order. You layer it up to be more and more details. But I actually think that, like, coloring is a great place to start because it starts giving you an aesthetic sense and a concept of how things are shaped and how you can use color and shading and stuff to change the way things appear to be shaped. And also teaches you some of the tools you can use with digital software. So if you're learning to use Photoshop or GIMP, or I use Autodesk Sketchpad, something like that. I'll figure it out and put it in the show notes on my tablet. I use GIMP on my computer, but it doesn't work on tablets. So I use Autodesk on my tablet. And so coloring gives you a chance to, like, practice those tools and figure out how layers work and stuff like that. But then at the end of the day, if you started with line art you already liked, then even if you're quite new to the coloring part or new to art in general, you still generally end up with something that you mostly like because you liked it when you started. So it's kind of hard to ruin it. And adding colors generally makes it more exciting. So I feel like maybe people who want to get into digital art, check out the coloring book and take your favorite piece from that and give that a go, because I think that might be an easier entry point for some people.
And this is a great time to mention that if you are looking to get into digital art, we've put together a resource list specifically with thanks to our two mods, Kukuria and Marie, for digital art in terms of, like, manipulation and graphic design, and digital art in terms of drawing. And that is in the show notes and permanently on our site. And if you are an artist listening to this, and you see that list and you're like, oh my God, they're missing the most important thing of my life. Probably we are, because there's a million resources and we are but a small but dedicated podcast staff. Please make sure to get in touch and so that we can add to your list, because one of the things we consistently heard from artists, not just SAP in some offline conversations, but from some other people, is that there is not really kind of a good clearinghouse of here's all the best resources kind of organized. And we have no idea if we're the right place to do it, but we have website space, and so we're going to try. And we'd love to be that clearinghouse for you in terms of resources for art, just as much as we're trying to be for writing and other forms of creation.
So changing tack a little bit, because we did do one other sort of conversation starter this week, and I think the results were really fun. we went out and asked people which Disney character they thought. First Steve we asked, and then we asked Tony later, which Disney character they thought fit them best.
The most popular answer for Steve was Hercules.
Yeah, I feel it.
Which then, when we get to Tony in a minute, there was a lot of people that said Meg. So, yeah. Which was fun, because for anyone who got a chance to listen to episode 5, Blade's recommendation was a Hercules AU.
Yes, everyone should go back and enjoy that if they didn't have a chance already.
So that was great. And in fact, Summer Pipe Dream on our Tumblr says, I'd say that Steve emulates Hercules. Stubborn, hardworking, loyal, always ready and willing to go the distance, cue the song, for his friends and family. They tried time and time again, failing many times, but eventually found friends and mentors in Erskine and Phil to help train them and take them from zero to hero with the help of some super soldier serum / inherent demigod powers.
Yeah.
They both gained an adoring public, but still felt themselves wanting more.
Yeah. I think it fits really well. I think it's an AU I'd love to see even more of.
Yeah, that's a great one. We also got Arthur from Sword in the Stone.
Yeah, that's good.
From Retro Princess. Retro Princess also mentioned Aladdin and Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah, interesting. I feel like Buzz is more of a Bucky than a Tony.
Yeah, maybe that's a good Stucky AU.
The one arm and the amnesia.
Maybe that's a little on point there.
too much?
Too soon?
Now I really want that. I mean, maybe there is one. I know that there's a lot of Stucky fics that have sort of missed my eyes. So guys, if you have a Toy Story Stucky AU, I want to read it.
Yeah, let me just throw, if you have a Toy Story Marvel AU.
Yeah.
Like, you do this with Thorky, like, rock on. I want everything. That would be hilarious. One other 100,000 said Mulan because of the army thing. And I'll be honest, I don't know the Mulan movie that well. So I don't even know it. Like, I don't know if the characters jive.
There's like a fierceness, a sort of self-stubbornness to like not give up and make it happen no matter how hard it is. That's sort of at the core of Mulan's character that
okay.
I think does fit Steve well.
Fascinating. Another big one on the Discord was a Zootopia AU with Steve as Judy Hopps.
Yeah, that's like a newer one, so I hadn't thought of it. But yeah, that actually fits really well, I think.
Yeah. Then the very, very popular Tony as Cusco, Steve as Pasha, which we've already mentioned, but I'll say it again. And then my personal thing for Stevie is I actually think he's quite a Belle-esque character.
Yeah. Tell us why.
Because he is stubborn as fuck. And so is she. He is dumb in that he will, not dumb. I say it's dumb because you'd martyr yourself, but like realistically, I'd probably do it too. So I'm just calling myself out on Maine here.
It can be dumb in an affectionate way.
Yeah. You're an idiot in a kind of affectionate way. Absolutely no questions about sacrificing self for others.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of belief in like, you know best and therefore you'll push boundaries. And also having no fear of like being yourself in the face of power. So yeah. I see them quite a lot together and also genuinely kind. Because I think that's one of Steve Rogers' things is that like two human beings who treat other people like human beings, he is kind. So yeah.
Yeah, actually, it works for me. I do know one Beauty and the Beast Stony AU by Fluffy Panda. It's called Bound by Roses and it's still in progress, but Steve is Belle and Tony is the Beast.
Yes, and I am trying very hard not to be that person whenever Panda talks about writing it on the server that like flails and drools and is like, write faster. That is how I feel. My favorite Beauty and the Beast AU while we're talking about, we'll use this to transition to Tony actually, because my favorite Beauty and the Beast AU is actually in Iron Frost.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see that for sure.
Where Tony is Belle and Loki is the Beast.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember the name of it, but I will put it in the show notes.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah. So speaking of Tony, people have a lot of feelings about who Tony should be. And you, my darling, was one of them. You were consistent in your answer. Who would Tony be?
Well, even when asked who Steve would be, I merely answered who I thought Tony would be.
Correct.
But, I mean, I should preface this by saying that Shakespeare is one of my favorite writers, and Lion King is one of my favorite movies of all time. And so, like, I mostly just want everything to be Lion King and or Hamlet. Like, it's just good. So, but I think Tony makes a wonderful Simba. Because, like, betrayed by his uncle, forced into exile, you know, there's a lot there. I think that, like, it's one of those things where there's like the story premise there supports a lot. Like you could put a lot of little canon nods and stuff if you were going to do like a Lion King AU. But there's also like Simba's not that fleshed out of a character in the movie.
No, not really.
So there's sort of a lot of space there as well to pour anybody into him. Like he's a very reactive character. And for some people that means they don't like him because I've seen people say that they feel like he lacks like motivation or forward momentum.
That's what he has Rafiki for. Rafiki motivates. Yeah.
And it's not like Hamlet was real big on forward momentum.
Hamlet was whiny. Need to throw that out there.
So, but yeah, also there's the story there with Simba sort of deciding that the easy life is the life he's going to choose, the one that doesn't involve challenging himself or his past or his relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, that isn't fulfilling enough. And he decides to stand up for what he knows is right, even though it's harder and even though it puts him in danger. And that's sort of like, that's a part of Iron Man 1 that I really love, that progression for Tony of deciding that taking the easiest path isn't what he's going to do anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree, because I actually wrote an a Lion King AU.
And this is why we're meant to be together.
Uh-huh. So I did it as Pepperoni, because I wanted the deep, deep angst. And I had Nat, Steve, and Bucky essentially in the Timon, Pumbaa, and Rafiki roles kind of all together.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, like, I don't think that Nala really fits Steve anyway, so.
No.
That's probably the best way to play it.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was one of those that I wrote to see if I could write a long form Pepperoni, but also because the more I thought about Lion King, the more I was like, yeah, Tony is Simba. And then there's an argument that Peter is Simba too, and a lot of people made that after Far From Home came out.
Haven't actually seen Far From Home yet.
You're allowed. It's okay. I'm not
gonna kick you off the pod. It just hasn't happened. It's like on the list.
It came out when we were flying to Ireland for Mr. Flame's sister's wedding, and we were going to be there on July 4th, and we were flying to stay with friends. Like, we flew early, and we were with some of our very best friends in Dublin who are also major fandom people. Like, my engagement gift to him was a customized Stark Industries internship certificate I got off Etsy.
Nice.
And I'm commissioning somebody to 3D printer him Cap Shield for his wedding.
Amazing.
So, like, these are our friends. And so they took July 4th off, which was the day we landed, and we all went to go see Far From Home in cinemas together in Dublin.
That's
so
lovely.
And we then spent the next, like, 6 hours at a pub dissecting every single element of it.
I think for me, it came out too soon after Endgame.
That's totally fair.
And so at the time, I wasn't like, I hadn't finished experiencing Endgame yet. So I wasn't like ready to watch more. And then it was like, once it wasn't in theaters anymore, I was like, oh, I can watch that whenever. And then I didn't.
It is a very intense follow-up to Endgame.
Yeah, it felt very related. We'll put it that way.
To see one without the other. I mean, to see Far From Home without seeing Endgame is going to feel wrong.
Yeah.
So I went for Jake Gyllenhaal too, because I need to be honest, like, he is just one of those actors that, like, I always want to see what he's going to do in something, because he's such a crackerjack. So.
He's chaotic energy. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, we saw him, Soulmate and I saw him in Broadway. Wow, are we off topic? Like, we are our own Discord channel right now in terms of topic hopping.
Someone's going to get the spray out.
Someone's got the spray out. We saw him live, him and Tom Sturridge do a play. And it was insane. He did a one act, a 45-minute monologue, and it was insane.
That's amazing. I have one, while we're on Jake Gyllenhaal, I will say that everybody should look for his skit that he did on Amy Schumer's show called something catfishing.
Yes, and it's so good.
I've dropped it in a couple of Discords, but we'll put it in the show notes too, just because it's like, he's not in it very much, but it's one of my favorite things that he's done, mostly because he waves a ferret around, which is brilliant, but I also just think it's super funny. If you've ever seen the show Catfish, it's a pithy but very effective parody of Catfish.
So. Oh, man, and there are a few better, like, Poppy Field shows, like, you're laying on the couch on a Saturday afternoon and you don't want to move and there's a Catfish marathon on. That's a good one.
I've only ever seen it at clients' houses because I do not have, like, TV and it's not on any of my streaming services. But some of my clients, I do overnight shifts at clients' houses sometimes, and they have, like, the craziest fucking channels. And I just love, like, looking around to see, like, what's happened to TV in the, like, 15 years I haven't had TV. Whew, yeah. I saw the first and only episode of Catfish I ever saw was the end of year top 10 best of Catfish episode.
Oh, my God. That's the best way to watch it, man. Yeah.
It was great. Anyway, Tony, did you have more for Tony?
So many people had things I've never seen. So, for instance, Rowan Tree Is Me on Tumblr says Jim Hawkins from Treasure Planet.
Yeah. And I think I have a B-Day prompt for Treasure Planet. And if I don't, I've definitely been prompted about it a couple of times before. So, like,
okay, so they are, they
the people say, want Treasure Planet.
Yeah. So
it's a good movie.
Smart, adrenaline junkie, abandonment issues, homemade means of flying, betrayed by pseudo father figure, dangerous flying into shenanigans.
Yeah. You should watch it. I think it's going to give you feelings.
Oh, I don't need feelings. We're trying to avoid feelings. No, okay. No. We also got Mike Wazowski, which fits.
Okay. Who's Boo?
We got The Beast. And then Akuru, I think. Guys, I'm a terrible person. I can't read. I'm tempted to say Eve from WALL-E, but WALL-E is such a hopeless romantic, it may actually be the other way around.
Aw, that's pretty cute.
But Eve,
I know, but she's like the new technology and Steve's like the old technology. So like, it kind of depends on what level you engage, you like, you know.
Yeah, and are there other people, like could that be another ship?
Yeah.
Like Tony as WALL-E, who would be Eve? Would Eve be, I don't know, like, does that fit with Iron Strange? I don't know that ship that well.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one I'm going to have to sit and think about for a bit, because I've never tried to do, like, a WALL-E recasting.
No. So people, tell us, especially non-Stony shippers, who still, for whom Tony is your bicycle.
Or, like, here you go. Do Dummy as WALL-E, and then Steve's fancy new Stark phone as Eve. There's a new ship. I've just gifted it to the... You're welcome, universe.
I'm rolling my eyes. Of course you made it, crackfic.
I can feel it.
Yeah, so tell us. We got Cusco, Timon, Dodger, or Oliver, because Tony would be an adorable kitten.
Fair.
Fear or disgust from Inside Out. I'm going to go with disgust.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if I see it as fear, but that's fine.
And Steve's what, sadness?
And Steve is joy. Are you kidding me?
That's sad, sad man.
Okay,
we can argue about that later.
This is the thing about Steve, is that he is both all the time.
Yeah, it is true.
So, and when we talk about on his birthday, we're going to talk about his the fact that fandom is the only people that excavated his PTSD, and and Marvel chose not to, or at least the movies chose not to. I don't know comics. But anyway, back to Tony. Then there's Gadget from Rescue Rangers, which is not a world I'm familiar with.
I'm a little bit, and yeah, I can see that.
Okay. I remember the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers theme song and could sing it for you right now, but I don't remember Gadget. All right, folks, that's what our people had. What about you? What do you have? So we would love to hear from you and what you want. We would also love to read Disney AUs. So take this as your written invitation to create some for us.
We also heard from other people in other places those past couple weeks. We got one comment on episode 5 that I wanted to read. Episode 5 was our one on alternate universes. This is from Tiarn. Sorry if I said that wrong. And they said, first episode of the podcast I've listened to. So good. I lolled at Blade of the Nebula's remark about walking into a cinema in 2012 and never leaving. Gonna go back and check out the other episodes now. Well, it's great to know that this is a low barrier of entry entertainment experience, in that you can pick up any episode and have a good time. We don't really chronologize anything, so it's good that people are sort of picking and choosing what they want to listen to and going based on that, because I think that's a great way to get started on something.
Yeah, and we have a hard enough time keeping the chronologies in our AU straight. Yeah. Like, we should not be in charge of keeping a chronology of a podcast straight.
No.
But yeah. I also love that people are experiencing this at their own pace.
Yeah, yeah. There's because, like, a lot of trickling in.
Yeah, for instance, even though like episode 5 was the most recent, the last couple weeks on the Discord server, there's been a lot more conversations about POV that we talked about in episode 4.
Yeah, that's been kind of an enduring conversation.
So that's been really great. So if you're listening to this, and so we're recording this in spring of 2020. If you're listening to this in December of 2020, please know that there are folks that want to still talk to you about POVs. I can almost guarantee you.
Yeah, and hello from the future.
Hello future.
From the past. Hello future from the past.
We have questions for you.
We do. That we shan't get answered. Speaking of the future.
Oh.
Upcoming. Our future very exciting Tony's birthday party.
Oh my gosh, yes. We are in planning stages.
We are. Things are trickling in, so people are getting excited. We've had some stuff submitted, but we wanted to remind you how you can get involved if you haven't already.
So there's a lot of ways. First of all, you can create a new creation that celebrates Tony and or his birthday. You can make a fic, you can draw either digitally or on paper. You can bake something. This has been suggested. For that, obviously, we would probably need a picture of the baked good, but you can...
I mean, or, you know, you could mail it to us. We'd
be absolutely happy to provide our mailing addresses.
just hit us up. Oh, your Tony cookies.
The limits of your imagination are the limits of this party, basically. So if you create something new, or if you have something on AO3, we've created an AO3 collection that we'll go ahead and put in the show notes for works that celebrate Tony's birthday in particular, mm-hmm. just because we have to narrow it somehow, guys. Mm-hmm. So much Tony love.
So much.
You can throw anything on Tumblr. Recently, we've gotten a couple rec lists for people's favorite Tony fics, and I think that is genius.
That's great.
Absolutely wonderful. So if you do that, you tag it with the hashtag, which is hashtag HBDTony2020. You can tag the server's Tumblr as well. That doubly makes sure that we're going to see it. You can do that on Twitter as well. You can also, let's say that you would like to explain in a longer form than a tweet or a Discord message why you love Tony. You can do this one of two ways. You can record a voice memo that's about 3 to 5 minutes and email it to us and we'll play it on air, or you can type it all out and email it to us and we or one of our very talented voice actors will read it for you.
Make sure that if you're wanting to share a rec list or a fic or an art or a picture of your wonderful baked goods before you put them in a box and mail them to us, that you share that on social media somewhere so that we can reshare it, because we want to be retweeting, reblogging, and sharing. If you only put something in the AO3 collection, or if you email us a link to a fic, we don't really have a way to share it very easily. So tag us, post it, reblog your old fics, and tag us, whatever it takes, and we will find those. If you don't see us reblogging right away, don't worry, we're planning this well in advance, but the week of Tony's birthday is going to be a huge party all week, so you'll start to see that stuff come out.
Some people have asked us if they could create custom birthday cards, and to that we say emphatically yes.
Yes, I would love to see like a mantle of birthday cards for Tony.
Oh my gosh. People have asked us if we are cool with Tony ships outside of Stony, to which we say...
all of them, yes.
Please, yes.
Thank you.
Tony and Steve are both of our bicycles, basically. So we want them to be happy.
Yep. And it can be Tony plus Steve plus other people. It can be Tony by himself. It can be Tony and his wonderful family, the Avengers, however you want to do it, as long as it's about loving Tony.
Exactly. So that's it. Remember, Tony's birthday is May the 29th. We're going to open up his public birthday party on May the 24th. And between when you're listening to this and May the 24th, if you're listening ahead of time, go ahead and still send in all that stuff so that we have a lot of stuff that we can reblog. But if you wake up and you're listening to this on the 29th, don't worry, you've got time. Go ahead and just grab something in, tag us on Tumblr, and we'll make sure to reblog it.
And if you want to get involved with fandom in other ways, then now's your chance, because coming up next is our events forecast.
Hi fandom, this is Only More Love, your interim forecaster, back to tell you all about what's going on challenge-wise in a Marvel fandom near you in our event forecast. A little note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast linked and explained in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. All right, so now for the numerous fun events that are happening. The Cap IM Reverse Big Bang has entered its posting phase, so keep an eye on the com for master posts or on the collection to catch the latest collaborations going up and give our creator some love. What that means as well is that the com has officially entered the writing and submission phase of the Big Bang this time. You have months ahead of you, as the final submission deadline is set for September 23rd, with artists claiming on September 26th. The minimum word count for submissions is 25,000 words. So get to your pens and keyboards, Stonies. The com has also announced a special Stony trivia quiz. Team signups open May 9th, with the quiz itself happening May 16th in the CAPIM Challenges Discord server. The CAPIM Comment Bingo Round 4 is open and will go on until October 31st. And stay tuned for another surprise comm announcement sometime tomorrow. The mods of the Marvel Blind Date event have launched signups and prompting. It's a fandom-wide event, which they describe as being halfway between a bang and prompt meme. Indeed, signups will be open all year, with the first prompts coming out at the beginning of June, and then new ones released every month. Writers and artists claim the ones they like and only begin working on them once a partner has claimed the same prompt they did. 10K minimum for writers, 2 pieces for artists. The artist signups for the Marvel Reverse Big Bang are also open until May 22nd. This bang is a free-for-all, all ships welcome, reverse bang, meaning artists come in first with art submissions due June 12th, and writers will claim the art they would like to create for on July 3rd. A fairy tale bingo was launched on Tumblr. There are no signups, no minimum requirements, and all creators are welcome and for as long as they want, as there are no deadlines either, and all fandoms are allowed. A new round of the Marvel Undercover Prompt Fest was announced earlier this week. The schedule is as follows. Prompting from May 11th to 24th, claiming from May 25th to June 28th, and posting will start on June 29th. This year's theme is music. The signups of the Band Together Bingo, an anti-censorship and multi-fandom event, have opened and will go on until May 23rd. This round will last until December 31st. The Work in Progress Bang's author signups closed last night. Artists will be able to claim summaries June 17th, with posting starting August 15th. The prompts for the Pepperoni Week that will happen from June 20th to 26th have gone out. There are no minimum requirements to participate, and all creators are welcome. Exciting news as well is the Marvel Collab Cupid server, a server to find collab partners of all kinds outside of the constraints of a bang or other challenge. It was launched at the end of last month, and you can join by following the link in the show notes if that sounds like something you'd like. There's a brand new Marvel and Reader Fest exchange held on Tumblr, and signups are open until May 20th with works due July 25th. The Bucky Barnes Bingo is having late signups until May 22nd. Go snatch a card if you missed it the first time. And if you're more of an Iron Husbands or Steve Rohde shipper, or just adore Rohde himself because he deserves it, don't forget that there will be a Rohde Appreciation Week running from May 24th to May 30th. The prompts are already out on the Tumblr. The Tony Stark Bingo, CAPIM Bingo, CAPIM Kink Meme, and Lights on Park Avenue are still open for participant signups and or contributions. And the links to all these are still in the show notes of Episode 1. This has been your events forecast. Marie or I will see you next episode. Until then, happy shipping.
Thanks, Only and Marie, and thanks to the rest of the podcast staff for all their hard work.
Thanks to Sap for chatting with me and to HT for the art.
And as always, thanks to you all for your comments, questions, and engagement. This is your fandom podcast, and we want to make it the best it can be for you. Remember, you can comment on the website or get in touch across any of our socials. Keep sending Stony secrets and questions, and we'll see you soon for Episode 7, Tony's Birthday Party.
Yay! You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.